It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, and all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
B-Pod Studios.
This is not your conventional sports radio show.
It's become painfully clear.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Around the NFL.
Over his hands.
In 15 minutes.
You play to win the game.
98.5 The Sports Hub. We are Toucher and Rich, and the NFL did play games this Sunday. Rich, and not a lot of them were very good.
Some big things, though, happening in the NFL, especially this. No one wanted to hear this yesterday, and I don't mean Tony Romo.
Prescott breaks the tackle. Picks up a total of 9 more.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh. You almost got to hope it's a cramp, don't you, if you're a Cowboy fan right there? But, oh, that does not look good, Jim. Oh, no.
And look at Gallup reacting and Dalton getting ready to go in.
Oh, you can just see that at the bottom. Just, oh.
One of those you don't want to see twice.
Oh, my goodness.
Well,
it wasn't a cramp, Tony. It was absolutely gruesome.
No, he snapped his ankle right there.
That was awful. I just kept thinking Gordon Hayward when I saw that.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, that's
Gordon Hayward,
tough to watch.
Gordon Hayward's was worse because that he just kind of came down on it.
Yeah, it looked a lot worse than Dak's did.
This was some guy rolled on
better.
It.
Yeah, yeah.
But Dak had his bone sticking out there on the ground.
Just
I wonder
bad.
If they give you pain stuff like right there on the field.
Oh, they got to you up right there.
No question.
Before they put the sleeve on you, I would imagine you get the shot right there before they put you on the cart.
Well, there's almost nature's way of taking the edge off. I know that Gordon Hayward said that when he did it, the pain was so bad that he almost felt numb, that he couldn't feel the pain. And you hear about that sometimes when people break a bone that way.
When I snapped my ankle skateboarding, when I thought I would be cool and follow a basically like a 10-year-old off a mini half, and I sat on my right leg, which I'm goofy foot, which is my front leg on the skateboard. I went and I thought I was fine, and I sat down, and then I just started vomiting because that's pain. So I was figuring because. It takes a long-ass time to get them up on the card, and then he was shaking everyone's hand and everything. And so, the consensus is that they shoot the guys up before they're... Because I was going to say, if my leg was broken, I'd be like, get me the F off this field.
Yeah.
I don't want to see anybody. I don't want anyone touching me. I want to go in.
Or inject
and I want to
me
be
with
medicated.
Something now. Just put it right in. Just whatever you need, inject me the second you come up to me.
Exactly. The first thing I want out of you... is a needle.
Cover it up so I don't have to look at it.
Yeah, make
the
pain go away.
I don't care. Yeah, I don't care if you take my sock off and shove it in my face. Inject me with something to make this go away.
So it was bad news. It was announced that he broke his ankle or officially suffered a right angle compound fracture and dislocation. He's out for the season. Just horrible news because not only has he been excellent all year, he was in a contract year and on the verge of signing a massive one, which he still might.
Oh, he will.
Yeah. So the Cowboys go on to win this one with the Red Rifle. Andy Dalton behind.
Right. By the way, the Red Rifle looking good in overtime.
We'll see. We'll see.
He looked. Hey, you watch enough NFL. Andy Dalton looked damn good.
Andy Dalton is right now, right in the middle of the pack. As a backup, he walked innings right in the middle of the pack of all NFL quarterbacks.
Listen, there's been years where Andy Dalton was a good quarterback. Like, well, I mean, you take a look at his track record. There's been years he's been pretty good.
You know why? It's because of what he has around him in Dallas. He has a guy to hand the football to and a very good offensive line in front of him. And they play in the worst division in football.
Well, that division is... Wait a second. You're saying that's a division?
If I'm not mistaken, wasn't the person in first only had one win? Well, a win and a tie?
Dallas is 2-3. They have the outright division lead at the moment.
Yes. Okay, but before that game, the Eagles were in first with one win and a tie.
They were 1-2-1, yes.
Eagles in a nail-biter against Pittsburgh for first place in the division. But unfortunately, they are a half game out.
And you mentioned Dak might still get the contract. I think Jerry's going to franchise him again and then roll the dice again.
If he is, I mean, come on.
Jerry Jones and you decided not to sign Dak to the $40 million a year that he wanted, and it looked real bad. He looked like it was going to cost him $70 or $80 million up until yesterday. You franchise him again. You pay him $37 million and see if he can come back. How long did it take Gordon Hayward to come back?
Yeah, but here's what I'll say is that he had surgery last night, and football is just a different game. Hayward's constantly jumping on it and everything. And
Dak has to run on artificial turf. This is not easy.
I know, but wouldn't you think that a quarterback coming back from that injury is easier than a basketball player coming back, because you're playing consecutive nights, you're jumping on it.
I'm assuming, but then again, I could be way off.
I don't think that you're way off. I think if they do the surgery, the bone heals, that you're back by, you know, you take it easy in training camp, you're back in a year.
If he was a stationary quarterback, that'd be one thing, but I'm not.
Well, it's not going to cost him speed. The ankle's not going to cost him speed.
You don't think so?
Why not?
I think it'd be the first thing it would cost
him. If it heals? Speed and mobility. I mean, ultimately, in 2 years, you might be right.
No, it won't cost you speed in that it won't make you slower. A broken bone doesn't make you slower.
Well, the pain.
Now, if it hurts, it could affect. They inject these guys with so much. I mean, he's not going to know he has a leg when he's out there.
Right? Ghost leg. A tour dog gets shipped to his house.
Like, in terms of, like, fast twitch muscles and everything, I can't imagine that your ankle, like if your ankle surgically repaired, that makes you slower. Like, your ligaments and stuff, I could see. I can't see your ankle, but...
Yeah, John said it best. I mean, there's so... The medicine and the surgery is so advanced nowadays. In 2 years, he's probably going to be right back to where he was. That's why it's dangerous to franchise him. Because if you franchise him, you pissed him off. A second time? Oh, dude, are you kidding me? There's no way that you end up getting that.
Even Dak would understand if Jerry went back and said, you know what, instead of the long-term contract, we're going to pay you $37.7 million this year.
Not for a
broken
ankle.
And you rest up.
Not for a broken ankle.
I don't know. That might be unforgivable if you're him. All right, man, I'm at my lowest point, and you're going to do this to me?
Let's say he doesn't come all the way back, and Dallas offers him 4 years and whatever, $170 million.
Well, who knows? Well, the Cowboys won. Red Rifle was good. But afterwards, Tony Dungy had this to say about Dak Prescott's horrific injury.
You know what? As tough as this is for Dak Prescott, it might be a blessing in disguise for the Cowboys. They've got a good veteran quarterback who can make some plays, and this might cause them to get back to their old formula. Lean on the running game. Lean on Ezekiel Elliott.
Right.
Help that defense out by controlling the ball. You still got wide receivers, and Andy Dalton's going to make some plays.
All right there, elf dentist. Apparently calling a bone snapping through the skin of your ankle is in no way, shape, or form a blessing in disguise, I would say. Well, I don't know what he meant by that. But
he could have rewritten the NFL record books this year, Dak Prescott.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you get the red rifle in there. He doesn't need all the acclaim of throwing the ball all over the place.
He's going to have to score about 35 points a game to win, though. That defense is terrible.
Yeah, well,
that's a terrible
defense.
That's a
2-3 team you're taking shots at.
Yes, I am.
I tell you what, that's a fantastic backup quarterback situation to have. Good for the Cowboys.
The red rifle.
Yep. Well,
Yep.
Oh, God. Every time I hear the red wife, I think of that stupid J.J. Watt thing that he said.
Yeah, yeah.
It was like, you know, people say the red wife role, he's really the red, we call him to a Red Ryder BB gun or something like that.
Yeah.
Like,
First words out of his mouth after that playoff win.
Yeah, oh, hang on. Here it is. This, you know that he, like, practiced this.
Is before he was
our goal was to come out here and make the red rifle look like a Red Ryder BB gun, and I think we did that.
Wow.
All right. Wow.
Wow.
Hey, you.
Sharp as a tack, JJ. Nice job.
Yeah, baby.
Oh, by the way, Dungy later clarified what he meant on Twitter because a bunch of people were saying, blessing in disguise.
What the hell? Yeah.
He said, quote, blessing in disguise was a poor choice of words by me. It's not a blessing for Dak. What I meant was that it was for the Cowboys. The season is not over. Well. Andy Dalton's very capable of changing the focus back to Elliott and can help the defense. But I feel very badly for Dak. Now, if you don't mind, I'm going to practice being a dentist here on the island of Misfit Toys.
Well, cancel Tony Dungy. I'll say that. Wishing. Saying everything's hunky-dory. How dare you, Tony Dungy? How dare you? You have to look in the mirror. Well, that's bad every day, I guess.
Tisk, tisk.
He has to look in there. He's like Bill Burr with that monologue on Saturday Night Live. Mean.
Bill Burr. Mean.
Killed.
Oh, see, I thought Bill Burr was funny, and I just thought it was whatever. It was a seven-minute monologue, and then I saw people were outraged, and I went back and listened to it to find out why.
He killed. By the way, that was the funniest episode of SNL in years. Like, they were, for the first time in forever, actually edgy. There were about five times during that episode, and a couple during, obviously, the monologue, where I said, they're going to get in so much crap for this.
I couldn't figure out what he got in, what people were pissed about in the monologue. What sketches struck your fancy?
Okay, so the very first one, you knew they were going to do something with the Mike Pence fly. And I was like, all right, they're probably going to do something stupid.
I didn't watch
stupid.
That, so I can't.
Okay, because originally I was like, oh, they're probably going to do something dumb. Like, it's going to be like Jeff Goldblum's going to show up as the fly. A lot of people thought that. But they essentially did that at first. They had like Joe Biden transferred through, and he was acting like Jeff Goldblum. And then a second fly showed up, and it was Herman Cain reincarnated to warn everyone that Mike Pence and Donald Trump killed him by making him go to a rally without a mask.
Really? Good for
Oh,
them.
Yeah. Dude, I was like, whoa.
Well, Michael Che was talking about like how it wouldn't be the worst thing in the world if Trump died.
That's the other thing. As he said, he his joke was, you know, because, you know, I'm not saying it's like, he goes, it's like, you know, when there's an accident with a drunk driver and the only one that survives is the drunk driver.
Yeah.
That was the joke about, like, Trump being, you know, surviving the coronavirus. Yeah. There were a lot of stuff in there.
But I'm asking particularly, because I just watched it on the AV Club, what sketch particularly struck your fancy? Because I didn't think the sketches were funny.
Okay, well, the Pence fly thing was, like, when Herman Cain showed up, I was like, oh, my God, okay, dude, that was inspired.
I have to be honest, I did not see that.
Okay, and then there was one sketch that they did near the end of it, which was kind of a knockoff of when they did the Dunkin' Donuts Boston one.
Sam Adams. I thought that was whatever.
Oh, you see, I thought, but it was good. Like the way it ended with Bill Burr, he was like testing Sam Adams. I thought it ended really well. As I said, it wasn't as good as the Casey Affleck one, but it was still good. There was another one too where it was like this sport. Did you see the sports talk show?
I thought that was terrible.
Oh, you see, I thought the concept was great. He came in and he was like, you know. So the way it was set up was Kenan Thompson's on the right. There was a woman, she's black, she's in the middle, and then
Cicely
you have Bill
Strong.
Burr. No, it wasn't Cicely Strong. Oh. It was one of the new cast members.
Ah.
And so it starts off, and it's like, are you ready for sports talk? And the host, the woman, goes, all right, so we're here for sports talk, and Bill Burr starts going off, I told you Tampa Bay was going to lose. Tom Brady sucks, and now I finally get that steak you promised me that you're never going to pay for, you son of a bitch. What do you think about that? And Kenan Thompson goes, well, to be quite honest, there was another murder at the hands of the police last night of another African-American. I'm surprised you didn't watch that last night. And Bill Burr's like, yeah, so I just looked at the scroll at the bottom. And meanwhile, Bill Burr had set up like this guy with a waiter was going to show up with the steak and give the guy a baby bottle. So they're trying to discuss this horrible murder that happened. But the whole time, Bill Burr has all these people with props and like balloons showing up. Oh, dude,
I stand by that wasn't funny. No, dinner.
What happened with Kate McKinnon, by the way? I was reading about this.
Oh,
they did a fake.
So
they
that
did like
dumb.
A fake thing where she broke character in quotations. But okay. The idea was that you weren't supposed to know that she was planning that all along. And then
there were about 5 moments, I was going, for the first time in forever, I'm like, dude, they can get in trouble for this.
Yeah, see,
which was kind of refreshing on SNL.
Except for the Che jokes, I didn't see anything. I thought the sketches were bad.
You
thought,
like, Bill Burr's monologue?
I know. I thought it was funny. I didn't get why it was offensive, though.
Yeah, I'm trying to think.
Because it was just he talked about white women co-opting the Black Lives Matter thing.
The woke thing.
No, yeah. This was the funniest part of it was involving Rick Moranis. Like, that made me laugh out loud.
Yeah, that was a funny joke. Again, I thought it was funny, but that wasn't, like, offensive.
Here it is, right here.
Did you see Rick Moranis got sucker punched on the Upper West Side? New York is back, baby! We lost our edge there for a minute. City started looking like a giant Bed Bath & Beyond, and then bam! Oh, Ricky took one in the chops. It had to happen. That's what happens when you stick an M&M store in Times Square. All right? The universe has to balance itself. Get the peep shows back in Times Square. Old people can walk safely 40 blocks away.
See, I think Rick Moranis was up to some shenanigans. He's disappeared from the public eye all that much, and now all of a sudden he randomly, in quotations, gets hit. Interesting.
I don't think that's a bad neighborhood.
It doesn't matter if it's a bad neighborhood or not. It doesn't seem like often people just randomly go up to guys and hit them in the face. Rick Moranis, perhaps another dad from ALF. That's all I got to say. All right.
Strike situation.
We'll be back. We'll continue going around the NFL.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks. And all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Sports. Greenfield.
Now, more Touch and Rich. Touch and Rich. On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Corey, how close were you to remaining a Bruin?
Not close. No communication. Nothing happened. So, like I said before, once the opportunity presented itself to be a Blue, I had to take the chance and jump on it.
Pretty and vain, isn't shame. I saw Not Another Teen Movie Friday night. I saw like 45 minutes in. A lot of nudity, a lot of poo jokes.
Mm-hmm. Not a good movie.
No. A lot of nudity. If you're into that kind of thing, wank. Fluto Shinzawa. He's a senior writer for The Athletic. He joins us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Mr. Fluto Shinzawa, hello, sir.
Good morning, guys.
All right, $11 million under the cap. We've heard from Torrey Krug. He's off to the Blues. So the belief is, I guess, you would assume that Torrey's agent checked in with the Bruins and they said it's a no-go, correct?
Yeah, and I think, look, it's always a bit of a shocker when it all comes to an end. But I think this was the conclusion that both sides had seen coming for some time. As for Torrey, just because of the market demand, he was going to get as he did, more term and probably more money. Term ended up being the thing that set St. Louis's offer apart from Boston's, whenever that was. As Torrey said, it was about a year ago that he got his last offer, and was there anything at the end? He made it sound like there was not. As for the Bruins, they're worse off without Torrey, especially on the power play. There's just no one else in the league like him, but you also look at the fact that he's 29. He's 5'9". They have some other options on the left side that are younger and cheaper and bigger. So I think this kind of parting was inevitable for both sides. It's not fun for either side in some regards, but that's where they are. Good for Torrey. He deserves every penny. Self-made person, undrafted, did everything and really developed into quite a leader, and would have been a very good captain or maybe an alternate captain here in Boston, but wasn't meant to be.
Do you think that deal is a little too long? If the Bruins had signed him to that deal, do you think that would have been prudent?
No. I think just given the age, the wear and tear, the style of play that he plays, yeah, he's smaller, but you guys know he doesn't back down from anybody. So where does that lead to? That leads to injuries. And the way he skates, he's not Duncan Keith. He's not even John Moore or Matt Grizzlick. There's some power behind his skating, and you just worry that style is subject to decline and a breakdown sooner rather than somebody who's a more fluid, a more natural skater. So I think a 7-year term, that's going to present issues for whatever team, for St. Louis at the back end, but they are operating within a window. And they want to maximize it, and they had to move on from their captain. So, I think term would have 7 years in Boston. That would have been obviously they didn't want to go that far.
All right,
Fluto. Oh, sorry, Fred. Go ahead.
Craig Smith is a good signing. Craig Smith is a guy that loves to shoot and had a lot of success with Nashville. If you look at the metrics, the super in-depth calculator style, he was on an elite line if you look at some of the sabermetrics of it. Craig Smith comes in. Where do you see him fitting in on this team right now?
Probably the third line. Maybe second or third line, depending on what kind of chemistry he shows with either Charlie Coyle or David Krejci. And whatever chemistry Andre Kasha shows with Krejci or Coyle. So you have some options there if you're Bruce Cassidy. Pastrnak not going anywhere off the first line, clearly. But, yeah, I think Smith, high-volume shooter, pretty accurate with the shot, too. He's not just ripping off pucks for the sake of it. He'll put them on net. So the issue there is the ice time. You look at the workload that he's coming off of, it was pretty low. So what does that indicate? That shows that his coaches in Nashville, John Hines and Peter Laviolette, saw something that said, okay, we're not really going to trust this guy in terms of first, second line usage. So not that he would necessarily get that here in Boston, but that's always, you scratch your head, okay, what's going on there? But obviously the Bruins did their due diligence and felt that there was some value there. And you look at the contract, yes, the term is fine. He's 31 years old, gets 3 years. The money, probably not as good as he would have gotten before the shutdowns, but reasonable, 3.1 per season for that type of player. So yes, it clearly makes the right side better, deeper, more options now. You don't really have to depend on a guy like Jack Stanika to say, okay, you have to be on the varsity next year. So very good signing.
So Fluto, there are reports that came in this weekend that there are several teams interested in Zdeno Chara. Is there a number or a term that you think the Bruins are willing to go, like a line that they're not willing to go over for Zdeno? And do you think that he would go someplace just for more money or more term instead of finishing his career as a Bruin?
Boy, only he would know the answer to that last part. I think the Bruins have set a pretty firm ceiling, term 1 year. Money, I'm not sure, but I don't think it's going to be significant. So that's that's your ceiling, and they feel that they have that internal budget that they want to stick to, but they also feel like they have some leverage in terms of, obviously, he wants to stay here and see it out. His family's been raised here. He's known nothing else but being a captain here. But, yeah, maybe you have that opportunity if you're the player. Maybe he's the type of person that says, okay, I'd like to show these guys that I'm worth whatever X amount of, maybe, I don't know, let's just say $500,000 or $1 million more than what the Bruins have shown me. Now the fit has to be right. The city has to be right. The system has to be right. All those things still point in the Bruins' favor, but maybe you're the type of person. I think that it comes down to that just as much for Zdeno to say, okay, I have some options here. Hey, maybe I'd like to say, okay, I can still do this and do it on another team and do it well. So we'll have to wait and see.
All right, $11 million under the cap. You got DeBrusque. Grizzlick's not signed. Taylor Hall wanted to play. He said he wanted to play for a winner, and he got what he wanted. 1 year, $8 million over there at that perennial cup contender Buffalo Sabre team. So he's off the table. They don't have Krug. They're short offensively with his absence. Who's out there, and what can they do?
Well, as you mentioned, the money doesn't really line up in terms of trying to acquire anybody, whether it's the left side on the defense or maybe a real punchy third line or second line left wing. It's in terms of dollars, it's not going to happen. Now, there's always a chance of a hockey trade, but at this point, especially with the market being tightened in terms of dollars and cap, it's going to be hard to make things line up right now. So, of course, Don Sweeney mentioned the other day that he's still looking at external options, but they certainly wouldn't be the high impact of a Hall type or even a Smith type of player at this point, just because you have to re-sign Jake. You have to re-sign Grizzlick. These are priorities. So what kind of money are they going to get? It's all kind of been adjusted because of the pandemic. So we'll have to wait and see on that, especially with Grizzlick, because he has arbitration rights. Maybe they don't even get there, but that kind of at least sets the template to know that, okay, this guy's going to be under contract one way or another. And you can't really fool around with Jake. He's part of that next generation. Yes, inconsistent year, but he's still capable of being a very high-end scorer. And then with internal options, you look at Vaakkanainen, you look at Zboril. Yes, certainly diminished on the left side, but you look at the power play, they feel that, okay, whether it's McAvoy or Grizzlick, they can handle some percentage of what Torrey's going to give you, especially with the personnel that you have on that first unit. So it's going to be approaching the attacking, the 5-on-5 and the 5-on-5 defense a little bit differently. Is it going to work out that way? Nobody knows at this point. They're hoping it does in terms of having a little bit more presence up front and mixing and matching on defense, but we'll see.
All right, so, John, say the name.
Which one are we talking about?
You've been talking about it all day. Who do you like?
Petrangelo. But I don't think they have nearly enough room to fit him in. If Krug got all that money, Petrangelo would get what, Fluto? $7-8 million a year? Something like that?
Seven times eight.
Yeah. Yeah. I would love to. I keep waiting for Sweeney to make the big move, because this Bruins team, as constituted, is not as good as the Bruins team that got smashed by Tampa. So I'm trying to figure out how Don Sweeney makes his team better. And you're right, the money doesn't seem to work. They just have to scramble to re-sign their own guys, right?
Yeah, at this point. And in terms of fit, unless you traded Carlo for some kind of assistance elsewhere, it sounds crazy to say, but that's it's too much on the right side in terms of Petrangelo, McAvoy, and Carlo. It's would be too much invested on that right side. You couldn't get enough minutes to really maximize all of their opportunities. So, yeah, this is what they have. This is the money situation they have. But they're not alone. I'm sure Tampa didn't want to say goodbye to Tyler Johnson, but he might be in the minors next year just because of again, the money situation.
Right.
And they still haven't re-signed their restricted guys, Sergachev, Sorelli, Chernak. Who knows? Maybe there's an offer sheet out there and they lose one of those guys. Who knows? Or maybe they really have to break the bank to get them. And they still have to clear out more dough. So it's just everybody's a little bit more compromised than they think, than they originally planned that they would be. But yeah, are the Bruins better right now? Hard to say that. Hard to say. But it's a little bit different adjustment of the formula that they've gone with. What was it last year? It was, okay, rely on great goaltending and great defense. First line power play, and then the rest is kind of okay. Shrug your shoulders. It's a little bit different now, just because Smith gives you a little bit more. You get in theory a full season of Kasha and Richie. So in theory, the forwards and 5-on-5 should be better. It has to be better, just because it was just such an issue in terms of them not being able to score and not even shooting at points. So that's got to be better, and you would think the power play can kind of replicate something close to what they were able to do, and the goaltending, you would think, just given the numbers and the way that they perform, there shouldn't be too much of a drop off there. But yeah, the left side, especially if Zdeno doesn't come back, that's 2/3 of your left side that is turned over. That's not small in terms of turnover.
All right, well, Fluta and Zhao, it seems like Rask is here to stay, and it doesn't seem like anything very interesting is coming down the pike. So there we sit as we wait for January 1st to come here. Fluta and Zhao from The Athletic, thanks so much for the time, sir.
My pleasure, guys. Have a good day.
All right, we appreciate it. Yep, Tuukka's here. So there you
Tuukka's
go.
Here, and on the left side, I guess Vakanainen's a left-shot defenseman,
yeah.
Right? I mean, they like him, so maybe he's younger, cheaper, bigger. There you go. Well,
it's going to be weird if Chara's not here. That's just going to be strange.
I think the Bruins, the Bruins have done everything but say, okay, if we have to, we'll take you back, but see if you can find something somewhere else.
I agree with John. I think they're basically saying, listen, go see what's out there. And if you don't find anything that you like, just come back to us, and you know exactly what we're going to offer you. And Fluto's right. It's going to be a year, $2 million probably, and there you go.
I'd be surprised if he left. I don't even know if they'd give him $2 million. All right, we'll be back in just a moment here at the headline.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing. And FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, and all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.
Coming up next at 10, Sports Talk while you're on the clock. Zolak and Bertrand. Right now, it's Toucher and Rich on Boston's Home for Sport. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
985 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. If you're just joining us, the Patriots have no positive test today. The NFL made a big mistake. Big mistake not playing that game tonight.
You would have had a strike or a revolt from the players.
I don't buy that for a second. I know the McCourty brothers would have thrown a fit. But
James White didn't seem too happy about it on Twitter.
I could, if I'm the NFL, I can get by with those three people complaining. And it was so basically Cam Newton's, according to his dad, asymptomatic. It's been 10 days, so he could play. That's the rule. And then,
well, he has to test positive or negative twice.
The
hours.
Rule asymptomatic with 10 days is a little different than that. I'd have to look it up, but it's a little different. If he's asymptomatic and it's been 10 days since his positive diagnosis, according to Ben Volen, he could play.
I thought you had to test negative twice.
You still have to
have two
negative
tests. In addition
to
that, I thought you had to test negative twice.
If you're asymptomatic, that's a requirement. Two negative tests within 24 hours.
Let's see. 10th day since Cam Newton's positive test, with his father saying he's asymptomatic. It seems as though if a player tests positive, when can he return to the facility? 10 days have passed since the initial positive test, or 5 days have passed since the initial positive test, and the player receives two consecutive negative PCR virus tests. So Cam Newton could have played.
No, he couldn't have.
It's just, I'm reading you the rule.
Yes, but it would have been 10 days. It would have been 10 days. He tested positive on Saturday.
He tested positive on...
And the game would have been tonight.
The test was administered on Friday.
It still wouldn't have been a full 10 days.
The test was administered on Friday.
And the game would have been tonight. Well, Saturday, according Sunday, to Monday, what I'm reading, Tuesday, Wednesday,
I don't know
Thursday,
how they,
Friday,
I don't know how they measure
Monday.
That. Well, is it the day the test
your boy, Hurley,
on
the
test your boy Hurley says, Patriots players have today and tomorrow off, but today's does mark the 10th day since Cam Newton's positive test.
Yes, with his he has father, to wait 10
hang
days.
Hang on, let me finish this. With his father saying he's asymptomatic, seems as though the PUB is clear to return based on NFL rules. That's according to Michael Hurley. So I'm going with Hurley.
Okay.
He could have played. So, and I don't know about, I don't know what Stephon Gilmore's situation is, and who cares about the practice squad kid. So you basically maybe have one guy that was positive. And you could have played tonight at 5.
So Gilmore came back positive Friday morning, is that right?
No,
this past Friday morning?
No, it was Monday or Tuesday. It was Wednesday, right? Because they came back on Monday. Okay. They played on Monday.
So he'll be able to play next Sunday. This coming Sunday, because that'll be 10 days.
Yes, he'll be able to play.
If he's that asymptomatic, he'll be able to play also. So, in theory, the Patriots should have everyone back for the Denver
But what
game.
I'm saying is, with all the juggling the NFL has to do, this was a game that could have been played tonight. It's a game that could have been played, and they chose not to play it. And I'm not buying for a second that team would have revolted. You might have gotten some nasty stuff on Twitter, but that team was playing the game tonight. The NFL doesn't have a lot of wiggle room, and they whiffed on that.
Well, the
report
was that the league wanted to play the game, and there was some sort of pushback or warning from the Patriots. They let the NFL know that they were indeed not pleased with that, and almost there was a hint of a revolt. Whether that came from Belichick or that came from them reading the tea leaves by hearing what the players were saying and tweeting that morning, that's just according to reports.
That's fine.
There was a threat that there would be a revolt.
That's fine. If I'm the NFL, I'm facing that on, and I'm saying, okay, we're playing, because now you might have a much greater reason to be concerned going into a game. First of all, playing the game, we haven't found that playing the game has any effect on coronavirus, because we don't know that anyone's caught the coronavirus during a game so far. That is, based on the results we have, that has not happened. So I'm not afraid to play the game if I'm a player. So, I mean, there might be a situation later in the season where the NFL goes, go screw, play. And if you don't want to play, don't play. And then now you're in a situation where you really might be up against it. I think the McCourty twins opened their mouths too quick, and they're going to regret what happened.
Say you're Robert Kraft, and you know Kraft's standing among owners in the National Football League, and you hear from the players or you hear from your coaches that there are going to be 5, 6, 7 key players that don't want to play if the game is played tonight. Would you not make the phone call to Roger Goodell, who has screwed you more than once, and say, hey, look, I want my guys out there. Is there any way this can happen?
And if I'm Goodell, I go, all right, Robert, but here's the deal. If Goodell was smart, what I would have done if I was Goodell is I would have said, here's the deal. We cancel this or we postpone this game and move all these things around. You might really be in it later in the season, and there's not going to be anything we can do but play the game.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I would say if I was Goodell.
And you know what? I bet you that conversation took place.
Right.
That exact conversation.
Right.
Say, I'll do you solid this time, but I can't help you the next time.
And the next time, you might really have something to worry about.
Yep.
I mean, you might be traveling somewhere. Mm-hmm. You might be doing something like that. And they really should have played the game tonight. They really didn't do themselves any favors. And if I'm a player and I lost my bye week because we're not playing tonight, I'm pissed. I'm saying, Jesus Christ. I mean, one guy tests positive
Denver,
now?
Denver, I'm sure all of the Broncos are BS about this.
Oh, of course.
Because you get a bye week, you get a chance to go home, you get a chance to unplug, you get away, you go with your family.
Well, you're not allowed to go to your family.
I guess what I'm saying is you get 3-4 days off from all of this.
Yes.
And Denver just spent their entire last week getting ready for this game, only to have the plug pulled the day before it happened.
Right.
And by the way, congratulations, that was your bye week.
Yes.
All that entire week you prepared, that was your bye week.
And by the way, I don't know what happens this week. I don't know if everyone on the planet gets the coronavirus this week going into next week's game. I have no idea what happens. Maybe someone on the Patriots gets the coronavirus bowling, and the next thing you know, 85 people have the coronavirus. I don't know what happens.
Bowling. They were going prowling. They were walking and talking like T-Birds. They were bowling.
Mookie Betts is on the news a lot.
Okay.
I got bowling on the brain.
I got it.
But, I mean, people are like, hey, they didn't. No one tested positive. You got 6 games until the game. Well, in six days, a lot can happen.
Mm-hmm.
And you could have gone into that with a good conscience playing that game tonight, and you didn't play
it. You had 3 positives in 1 week.
Okay, and now there's been none today, and Cam Newton's coming off.
You're still not out of the incubation period from when they all flew together.
Okay, but what's the difference if playing the game? I mean, I'm never going to be in a perfect situation. I mean, this is always going to be happening.
It's because the players don't want to be around other players in the locker room or at the facility. That's why. And that's why Jason McCourty
spoke out. That's why you had an opportunity not to play in the season if you don't want to, and you certainly don't have to play in the game if you don't want to.
But they also thought that the NFL would do everything they could to keep them safe, and when they requested to have a bigger locker room when they went to Kansas City, they didn't give it to them. When they told them all to get in a plane, which, by the way, it was the Patriots that chose a second plane.
That's fine.
Not the NFL.
But
they wanted all of them, even though someone was infected, to get on a plane together. This was a message to the NFL, stop messing around.
But in the Patriots gave them a big-ass plane with tons of room and filtered air. So, I mean, the plane to me isn't the issue. You can make it.
And when they asked the NFL to help them, keep them healthy and safe, the NFL said no.
In terms of what?
In terms of getting a bigger locker room to spread them out.
All right, fine. They got screwed on the locker room, but I'm telling you.
They made them fly on the day of the game, play a game, and then fly back.
Okay.
Which, by the way, isn't great for anyone's health.
But that's the situation. Is that these matters are going to come up again? And you didn't have that situation this week.
But if you're Jason and Devin McCourty, you're thinking it's one thing after the next, and now we have 3 breakouts, and you're going to try to make us play? No.
Okay. And if I'm Jason and Devin McCourty, I'm saying you just turned down a home game at 5 o'clock on a Monday. You screwed everyone out of the bye, and I don't know the next situation.
I think there's a human element that a lot of people overlook with these guys. I mean, they have families, they have kids, they don't want to get sick. They just want to know that somebody's got their back, because that was the promise that was made to them at the beginning of the season.
How by playing today would have them not having their back?
Because there were infected people at the facility. They said that. Oh, and there's been several more incidents. There's been 3 this week.
These are
the players saying this, not me. This isn't some crazy theory that's out there. They're in the middle of all this, and they're saying we're getting no help from the NFL.
They don't care
about us, and we're finally going to put our foot down and say enough's enough.
And I counter that this was not the week to do it, because this was not a week where you were headed into anything particularly dangerous.
Other than the coronavirus.
No, I think that there's other opportunities that are going to be a lot worse in terms of getting the coronavirus. I think that there could be another instance where you have to travel if that's such an issue, or you have to be on the road. I think a home game under these circumstances was something that with getting tested and the infected players not being around was as safe as it could be at this point. And by the way, it's never going to get better.
And Fred, that's an issue.
Okay,
that's a massive issue.
But you have to make the decision if you want a season or not. Not you in particularly, but the NFL, and the NFL wants a season, and the players want a season. And if the McCourty brothers don't want to play, they don't have to play. No one's making them. But this is what's going to happen. By the way, you watch 60 Minutes. I mean, this coronavirus, people got to learn to live with it at some point, because they're going to have, they're very certain that they're going to have a way that when you get hospitalized, that they're going to have a way that they can counter the virus. But that's first. The vaccine doesn't necessarily mean anything. So this is not going away anytime soon.
They want to be protected and have the protections they were promised. And they want to be treated like actual people and not commodities.
I don't. Well,
and that's
we're
what
all
that's
commodities.
Exactly what all the
we're
players
all
are
commodities.
Saying right
now. We're all at work. I mean, we're all commodities. That's the thing, is that they got screwed on the locker room in KC. Fair enough. But you didn't have that situation going into tonight's game. You didn't. And so it's not perfect. The NFL is not perfect. Playing the games is not – there is a chance that you could get the coronavirus. There absolutely is.
And they said that that's fine. That's a chance that they took. But when they asked for help from the NFL to keep them safe, the NFL said no.
Okay, but I don't know how that pertains to this week, because this week you're not going into it.
Because
Kansas
they
City.
Said, here's the results of you making us do something that we knew was unhealthy. We now have three more positive tests. So now we're saying, no, we're not going to play.
Okay, and then my point is that this was not the week to do it, because you're going to be put into a situation that is a lot less favorable than the one you're in right now.
I think the minute you feel that the NFL doesn't have your best interest is the minute you put your foot down. Because if you wait, how many more times is this going to happen to
it's
other teams?
Happen a lot, and teams are going to play through it. It's going to happen a lot, and teams are going to have to play through it, or they're not, or the players don't have
you
to play.
You say that, but the players could strike. They've said that. They've threatened it.
They ain't
this
striking.
Is something...
That is, you know what? If I'm a player, I would definitely
I got to get
look
these
look
spots in. We'll be right back with this conversation. 617-779-0985. Playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.
Hey, it's Felger here. The NBA playoffs are heating up, and so is the action at the DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. Teams are knocking on the door of the conference finals, and DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered with same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. Don't miss out as the NBA postseason heats up. It's super easy to get started with DraftKings if you're a first-timer. Try betting on something simple like your team to win. Just download the DraftKings Sportsbook app, select your team, and place your first bet. It's that simple. And if you're new to DraftKings, just check this out. New customers bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets instantly. You have to download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code SportsHub. Again, new customers get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5 only on DraftKings. The crown is yours, and you must use code SportsHub to get in on the action.
Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gamblinghelplinema.org. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com. Physically present in Massachusetts. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. Eligibility and deposit restrictions apply. Terms at sportsbook.draftkings.com/basketball terms.